I'm starting a brand new message series today called The Path Less Traveled. I want to talk to you today about the subject of forgiveness, and I've intentionally done this as we journey toward Easter, and as we embark on this path of reflection and our heart is getting prepared to celebrate all that Jesus has done for us in the resurrection, I want to focus on this theme over the next several weeks of forgiveness. I did some research before I got here today and found out some things about you. And so I wanted to tell you what I researched about you today. Is that be all right? Is that a little creepy? It's okay. I did a little research. I found a little bit out about you. And here's what I found out. I have it on good authority that every single person in this room has messed up and fallen short of God's best. Amen. Here's what else I know about you. You've done stuff in the past that you wished you hadn't done. I know that there are people in this room, almost every single one of you, all the honest people, will say, I've done some stuff that I don't want to repeat, but I'm afraid I'm gonna. How do I get past it? And that ties really well into this subject of forgiveness. And I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 3. And I'm just going to get right into it. I hope you take notes, and I'm going to move probably a little bit quickly. I'm going to throw a lot at you and trust that God will use his word to illuminate our lives and dispel some false beliefs that we have. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, bearing with one another. Just pause right there. What's that mean? It means putting up with people. Anybody have anyone in your life that you're kind of, just be honest, you're just putting up with them right now? None of you. Wow, praise the Lord. Look how holy and sanctified this crowd is. That's usually the 9 a.m. Today, the 11 a.m. is holy. You got extra sleep. You're holy, whatever. Like, no, bearing one with one another, putting up with them, and forgiving one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, I forgive you. Did you hear how weak that was? I saw one wife shaking her head and saying, I'm not doing that. I did not do that. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, how many people in the house has Jesus forgiven of some things? Just like he did that for you, so you also must do. Very plain scripture. I want to say this to you from Jump Street. Forgiveness is not a luxury. It's a Bible command. It's not an option. It's mandatory. You have no defendable excuse for living with unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment in your soul. Zero. You have no defendable biblical reason for holding a grudge or being offended and staying offended. Being offended is not an argument against obeying the Bible. You can't say, well, I'm just not going to do that verse because they offended me. That does not hold up in the courts of heaven. Forgiveness is not a luxury. It's a command. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Jesus will never ask you to forgive someone more than he's forgiven you. I want to say that again. Jesus will never ask you to forgive someone more than he has forgiven you. Forgiveness, again, is not a luxury, it's a command. Somebody do me a favor real quickly, if you would. Look up on your phone and tell me what time sunset is today. What time is does the sun set? If you have your phone, will you please get it and tell me the time? I think I know, but I want to be certain. What is it? Shout it out once you got it. 7:31. Does anybody have anything different? 7:31? I'm glad I asked because someone in the first service told me 7:13. They might have been dyslexic. So 7:31, 7:30. I don't know. I'm not just saying. I had to check. 7:31. How many are thankful that sunset is not 3:30 anymore? Praise the Lord. 7:31. You're on the clock. Your assignment today from the Word is to get every bit of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, rage, wrath, and resentment out of you by 7:31 p.m. Why would I say that? Because your Bible gives you a command, and it says this: be angry and do not sin, and goes on to say this: do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You have a biblical timeline to get all of that junk out of your soul by 7:31 today. You can do it. Say to your neighbor, say, we can do this. See how weak that is? Y'all are not convinced of this yet. So I need some people to get convinced. Watch this. I want to show you how easy this is. Because we've believed the lie. We've believed the lie about forgiveness, that forgiveness is hard, it's difficult, that I can't do it. I want you to know that's not a Bible scripture. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You have believed something that is not true. You have believed something that emotional people without a foundation in Scripture have passed on to you. And because it correlates with your personal experience and feelings, you've accepted it as the truth because it's comfortable and easy for you. But every time you obey the Word, it will go against the nature of what you're used to until you stop being dominated by the carnal exterior old man, old woman ways, and lean into the reality that you are a new creation in Christ. And as you grow in your reality of who you are in Christ, the things that God gives us to do, those things become second nature to us. And so when you make this move, here's what happens. Here's how you know you're growing: that you get offended and you get your feelings hurt, and your first response is to forgive and let them go. That's how you know you're growing. You know you can know, you can identify your spiritual condition as being stuck when you become hurt and offended, and your first response is, how can I get even with them? How can I tell them what they really need to know? No. That's the opposite. Let me show you this. You, like all living things, how many of you are alive? How many of you aren't sure? You, like all living things, listen very carefully, this might be new language for you. You're an open system. This is biological scientific language that means this: that you exchange matter and energy with the environment that you're in. It's an open system. You exchange matter and energy with the environment that you're in. Let me give an example of how your being does this. You think, and then you speak. In that order. You don't just have thoughts and no words. Your thoughts are released through your words because you're an open system. A closed system thinks only and never communicates. How many of you have had at least one thought today? How many of you have said at least one word today? You're an open system. The second example that I can give you is this: you have emotions, feelings, and then you release them. You emote, you laugh, you cry, you grunt. You do something to expel the emotions. You hit something. You yell. You have feeling. Why? The people, here's what happens when you don't do that and you become a closed system, is you bottle everything up until one day you go off on something that is totally irrational for you to be upset by. Another example of this is eating and drinking. How many of you have had food or beverage today? How many of you had food or beverage in the last week? Here's what I know about you, very crude: you've also used the restroom. Right? I hope so. If not, you need to seek medical attention immediately. Why? Because you're an open system. You've never met a healthy person who eats, drinks, and never expels. Because your body has to get rid of it. It takes what it needs and it gets rid of it. Okay? Another example, breathing. You don't only just breathe in, you breathe out. Everybody take a big deep breath in. Hold it as long as you can. For all the overachievers, you can breathe out now. I know you can do this until the end of the service, whatever. You're like a super diver, whatever. I get it. No matter how long you can hold your breath, no matter what your lung capacity is, eventually you have to exhale. Am I right? You're an open system. Watch this. One of the words translated in the Greek to forgive means to exhale. So spiritually speaking, in God's mind, as natural as it is to exhale physical breath, release the carbon dioxide out, it is that natural for you to forgive. That's how you're designed by God. And when we don't, what happens is we contaminate our soul by only taking in and only breathing in, spiritually speaking, as a metaphor, that if you're only ever taking in offense, bitterness, disagreement, anger, if you're holding all of that in, that leads to many, many bad things in your life. Physical ailments, emotional distress, fatigue, sickness, because you're holding in things that you were meant to release. I want to come against a thought today, and with God's help, I hope that I change your mind on one thing. Forgiveness is not too hard for you. You can do it. The second thing I want you to train yourself in today is, I want you to be a person who is quick to forgive. The moment it happens, as quick as you can process it, you let it go. Don't hold on to it. It does not serve you well to hold on to it. The quicker that you can let go of the offense, the sooner you can go free from that trap and that prison that it seeks to keep you in. I don't want to go through all of the cliches, but I want you to learn to be quick to forgive. Colossians 3:13, bearing one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It is a biblical command. Watch this, if you will, please. If you let the sun go down on you tonight and you harbor ill will and unforgiveness, I have to tell you something. As your pastor, I have to love you and tell you the truth. If you let the sun go down with that unforgiveness still in your soul, you're sinning. It's a sin. I know it's not popular in the American church to talk about sin. Well, it is popular. It's popular to talk about the sins that we don't participate in. Come on, preacher, talk about how bad people who are living in same-sex relationships. Talk about all the people who are living in transgenderism. Talk about all the things. Talk about the Democrats. Talk about the Republicans. Talk about how they're screwing up our country and preach against that. No, no. Why? Because the vast majority of my church and this church is not trapped in those things. You're trapped in a prison of your own making, and many of you are walking around harboring ill will against an aunt from 1984, and it's destroying your soul. And I'm here to tell you that once you let that go, you'll be free. You'll be freer than you've ever been before. Right? Right? I know. The church doesn't want me to talk about gluttony and overeating. It's in the Bible. As a sin, nobody wants me to talk about people who lie. They want me to talk about all the other stuff so you can forget about the things that you're doing, watch this, that are destroying you. That's on you. Like, I need you to get free of the stuff that's destroying you. And unforgiveness is eating us alive. And one of the reasons we believe it's difficult is because we don't understand what it really is. Forgiveness is nuanced. It's a concept that's misunderstood. What do I mean by nuanced? There's a lot of layers to it. The best way I can describe the word nuanced, in case, just to make it clear, is if you tell me your favorite color is green, you haven't told me anything. Because there's like 387 different shades of green. Which green do you mean? Do you mean the green from the Masters Golf Tournament? Do you mean the green from the grass? But which season of green from the grass? Spring, summer green? Do you mean army green? Do you mean green light green? What do you mean when you say green? And so when you try to lump everything into one pile, you'll miss it and you'll oversimplify it. And forgiveness is nuanced. So what I want to do is I want to take a few minutes and tell you what forgiveness is not. All right? Number one, I'm going to move quickly, I think. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Whoever came up with that phrase did not serve humanity well. Forgive and forget, I'm going to tell you something. It's bullcrap. Why? Unless you're suffering, and I'm not making light of this, unless you're suffering with Alzheimer's or dementia, you're going to remember. And you know what the human mind is wired to remember in a healthy situation? The stuff that hurt us. So we don't repeat it. So forgiveness is not forgetting. In other words, forgiveness does not require you to have your memory erased. I don't have the tool for Men in Black. Just like, bloop. I can't. And neither do you. So if you think forgiveness is only something you've walked in once you've forgotten, you have a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is. You can forgive. It is possible to forgive someone and still have a vivid memory of the incident. Number two, forgiveness is not condoning. Forgiving someone does not mean that you are justifying their wrong actions or behavior. Listen to me very carefully. You can forgive and still recognize that what they did to you was wrong and say that it's wrong. Forgiveness number three is not weakness. Choosing to forgive is not weak. In fact, I think it's the most courageous thing that most of us will do in a 24-hour period. Years ago, I told a story that wasn't just a story, it was my life experience, about how when I was a small boy and went to a babysitter's, that babysitter sexually molested me as a small boy. And it was a weird phenomenon because somehow my mind shut it off. And it wasn't until I was an adult and had children that I even knew what had happened to me. And it was one of the most courageous acts that I have ever performed to exhale and get rid of that stuff. Can I tell you something? That everything harmful and hurtful in your life can have an expiration date if you walk in the power and in the love and the forgiveness of God. Forgiveness, number four, is not always immediate. It can be immediate for some, but for some others, it's a process that takes time. And it's okay if forgiveness doesn't happen right away, but as you grow, I need you to get to the place where you're quicker and quicker and quicker to forgive. Husbands and wives, learn to be quick to forgive each other. It will destroy your marriage, letting unforgiveness live in your home. If you are still holding against your spouse a relationship they had when they were in high school, and it's not far-fetched, you might be in that place today. You could be online feeling that way, holding something against your spouse that they did when they were a teenager. You need to get to a place where you get quicker and quicker and quicker to forgive. Number five, forgiveness is not conditional. This is what I mean by that. It's not based on the offender making amends or apologizing first. It's a gift you give yourself. Number six, this one's important. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiving someone does not necessarily mean that you have to reconcile with them or continue the relationship with them. You can forgive someone and still choose to go your separate ways. I want to tell you why. Because there are some people who have wronged you and they have not made a course correction to change, and they are unworthy of your trust. And that's not on you, that's on them. Forgiveness is on you. Trust is theirs to earn if they choose to. I need you to know that, because you can forgive someone and still go your separate ways with them. Number seven, forgiveness isn't giving up your right to justice. You can forgive someone and still pursue legal or other forms to address the wrong. Got quiet in this church on that one. Number eight, forgiveness isn't dependent on the other person's action, participation, or cooperation. I love this one. Your decision to forgive someone is not contingent on the other person's willingness to change or apologize. In other words, you can forgive someone against their will. They don't get a vote. This is your choice. I want to give you something. I want to give you five reasons, because this comes up every time when we talk about forgiveness, about people who are waiting for an apology. Can I tell you something? I need you to let go of your desire for them to apologize to you. It has no bearing on your choice to forgive. Five reasons a mentor gave me that you don't need their apology to move forward. Number one, waiting on something outside of your control in order to be released from the trap that keeps you hostage to suffering is foolish. Number two, you can earn your freedom all on your own. You don't need their permission. That's really good news. An apology is sometimes a luxury you can't afford to wait on. Four, this one's powerful. The story that you are telling yourself about the difference that their apology will make is probably wrong. Number five, apologies are overrated. It's change that matters. I'm not saying we should never apologize. I'm talking about from the side where you're waiting on an apology. We could talk about what it means to apologize on another angle. But number nine, forgiveness is not a one-time act. For deep hurts, forgiveness might need to be chosen repeatedly over time. Why? Because moments of pain and anger can resurface. They come back up into your consciousness, and you need to let it go again. I was recently speaking to an individual, and they said this to me. They said, I just can't stop talking about what they did to me. I said, why not? They said, I just can't do it. I'm like, wait a minute. Who's in charge of your words? Are you in charge of your words? You're in charge of your words. I was on the phone with an individual I'd never met, but I'd known of and highly respected. And this was several years ago, and I was spouting off stuff that was from a place of hurt and anger and bitterness. And they barely knew me. They knew me like 20 minutes. And they said to me, they said, Josh, you ought to stop talking about that and never talk about it again. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, you know what? They're right. I need to stop talking about this, because what it's doing is it's refiring me up about something that I said was old and dead and buried. And I'm the one digging it back up. Listen, lots of times we want to blame other people when it's us with the shovel, talking about it, digging it back up, looking at the corpse, smelling it. Pastor Larry talked about it stinks for less long, right? Last weekend, he did a great job on that. Listen, some of us are digging up our past and we don't need to dig it up. Some stuff that's buried, it needs to be buried. Like the Bible talks about, let the dead bury the dead. Some of that needs to be feelings and emotions in your past. One of these days, I'm going to preach a message series entitled, Get Your Head Out of Your Past. But hey, listen, if that bothered you, just let that religious devil manifest for like 30 seconds and then let it go. You'll be fine. Jesus did not fall off the throne because I just said, I'm going to say it again. Today would be a really good day to get your head out of your past. Why? Because you're not supposed to be the person you were then. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to have changed. I love how when we grow and develop, a sign of that is that we don't react the way we used to. And that we see things differently than we used to. Daniel, come and help me. I'm going to read this last verse. I'm out of time. I'm over time. Imagine it. You could use the extra. Ma'am, you just created a whole lot of enemies in the room, and they're gonna need to forgive you. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it. Pause. What's that mean? What's see to it mean? Caleb, if I say to you, see to it that the lights are turned off in the building, and you're the last one out. What's that mean? You got to do something, right? That's on you. All right. That's not on you today, but just as an example. See to it. That means it's on me. This means this is on you. Don't leave out of here and be a hearer only. I was recently talking to someone, and they said, I know all the things you're telling me. And I said, I don't freaking care what you know. What are you doing? The hearer gets no blessing, it's the doer. When you hear only and you don't do, the Bible says you deceive yourself. You did that to you. And you can't blame anybody else. See to it, watch this, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I need you to understand something before we go. Your understanding, your illumination on the favor and grace of God on your life is directly connected to bitterness being able to grow a root in you or not. The people who allow bitterness to grow roots inside of them have lost sight of the grace and favor of God on their life. When you've been forgiven much, you are to forgive much. That's because God's grace and favor was on you that you receive forgiveness. Next week, I'm going to preach a message to you called The Burden of Bitterness. I don't have time to get into the whole thing. Remember exhaling? To forgive means to exhale. If you were to take a breath in and I were to have some kind of contraption around your waist, your chest area, and when you take a breath in, whether there's an outward reflection of this or not, your waist gets smaller. There's room that's made when you breathe in. You ever notice that? Like you can suck it in. Now you get to a certain point, you can't. I've been there, you know what I'm saying? Like you can't, but it still happens. So if you were to breathe in, if Josh were to come up here and he were to breathe in and I would have like a tight, I don't know, like just some kind of tight apparatus that I could wrap around his waist. And as he breathed in, if Larry and I were able to wrench on that thing and tighten it, it would restrict his breathing. Is that right or wrong? And if he were to breathe out and make a little bit of room, he'd breathe out. And he'd have to breathe in eventually, and we're watching very closely, and he breathes in, and Larry and I twist that again, his lung capacity is shrinking to the point where technically we could suffocate him. We won't do that. I'm sorry that I used you as an example. You were just close, right? Low-hanging fruit. We're not going to hurt anybody. No, it's not. It's a visual, okay? Relax. Here's the picture. That's what bitterness does on the inside of you. It suffocates your soul. And you let the bitterness get all wound up on the inside of you. And it's like a deep-rooted system that chokes the very life of God out of you. So what do? See to it that no one falls short of the grace and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Number one, action steps. I could give you many others, but how do we do it? What do we do? What do I do, Pastor Josh? Number one, forgive your parents. Forgive your parents, whether they're living, whether they've passed, whether they were your heroes, or whether you had a dysfunctional relationship with them. Whether they're in this room sitting next to you, or whether they're out of this room and you haven't talked with them for forever. Forgive them. This is what I believe. You never enter into spiritual adulthood until you forgive your parents of the things that they did that messed you up. They didn't do it on purpose, probably. Some of them did it because of ignorance. Some of them did it because of neglect. Some of them did it because they cared too much. Some did it because they didn't care enough, right? Forgive your parents. There's an expiration date on what they've done in your life. Let it be today. I can't do that. Yes, you can. How do I know? Because when faced with two options of you telling me you can't and the Bible telling me you can, I'm going to go with God's word every single time. And I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe him. Here's why you think you can't. This is going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But I love you enough to tell you this so that you can heal from it. The people who regularly say, I can't forgive them, are selfish, and their pride and their ego is much, much larger than it needs to be. You can. You're making a choice not to. That's the truth. Forgive them. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Maybe you never knew your parents. Maybe they put you up for adoption. You've been holding that grudge for 47 years. Today's the day where you need to go free. You need to forgive them. Your parents got divorced when you were young. And it hurt you. I understand that. I get it. My parents were divorced when I was a young kid. Let them go. Let that thing go. Forgive them. Once you do this, all kinds of freedom is going to come to you. Number two, forgive all the relationships, all of them, that didn't work out the way you hoped they would. Number three, forgive all the people you've ever held a grudge against. Let them go. And lastly, forgive yourself. I can't do that, Pastor Josh. Yes, you can. I'm telling you that you can. This is why it's so important for you to understand what forgiveness is not. I can't forget the things that I've done. That's not forgiveness. I can't condone the things that I've done. That's not forgiveness. Forgiving yourself is a massive move that a lot of people in this room and watching online need to make today. You have until 7:31 to get there. And I know I'm being a little bit playful, but not really. Like, do it. Be bold and make the move. Well, it'll cost me this, this, and this. I don't care. Nothing will be a higher price than letting the bitterness build up in your soul. Let him go. I'm going to say this. Some need to let go of their past church hurts. There's some folks here and watching online. You've been wronged by a pastor before here. And that hurt that you've transferred wherever you go next, listen to me, it is not hurting them. It's hurting you and everyone else in that downstream line that's trying to serve you. Because you're filtering everything you believe about church and pastors through what they did, and you're holding something against a person who never did anything against you. They're only trying to help you. That will keep you trapped spiritually. Let them go. I want to talk to people online. Listen to me online. There's some people watching me right now online. You're not in a church because there are people in a church who've hurt you, and you need to move past that. I want to speak really plain and bold because I love you. Some of you are hiding on the other side of that lens because you refuse to let that person go. That's destroying your life. You need people. You need a band of people who will love you and who will support you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You've built up some things so big in your mind. You've believed lies of the enemy that are cutting you off of the reserve of power that's resident in the people of the local church. And you need to get free of that. And you need to do that today by 7:31.